92 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Febreze Fabric Spray.
I'm Allison Keyes. More military operations are possible over the coming days as the U.S. continues its retaliation over the attack that killed three U.S. troops in Jordan. More than 85 targets linked to Iran have been hit with U.S. airstrikes in Iraq and Syria. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
The strikes lasted only about 30 minutes, and the Pentagon says it hit what it was aiming for. But the White House was aiming for a more elusive target, finding a way to retaliate against groups that killed Americans without causing the violence to spiral into a greater regional war.
Voters are at the polls for South Carolina's Democratic primary, where President Biden is hoping for a big win, but voters like this one are unimpressed with Mr. Biden.
I definitely am afraid for Trump to be in office again, and I'm just not too fond of what Biden has done or the lack of what he's done while he's been in office. So that's where I hesitate.
Serious flooding headed for Southern California this weekend, and those Grammys outfits are going to get wet. Bob Orovec is at the National Weather Service.
The heavy rain looks like it's going to be moving back into California, initially across the central part of the state. That's going to be early Sunday morning, and the rain's going to be spreading south and eastward into Southern California later in the day on Sunday.
In Texas, a convoy of protesters is set to rally against illegal migration at the U.S.-Mexico border. Many are flying pro-Donald Trump flags along with American flags, and some demonstrators are also carrying signs opposing the Black Lives Matter movement. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez is there.
The Take Our Border Back convoy flooded the streets of Camilo, Texas, just 20 miles away from Eagle Pass.
Trying to make a statement that we believe in our country. We want it to be the way it has been, you know, over the years with people coming in legally.
A team of scientists is in Antarctica testing a drone to help look at the effects of climate change. Georgia Renard is with the BBC.
Scientists are desperate to know more about how climate change is affecting Antarctica. But bad weather, harsh terrain, and the dangers of flying pilots to remote places has limited their research. The British Antarctic Survey worked with the UK company Windraces to develop this new drone for science. And with wings spanning the length of two cars, it's much bigger than drones they've used in the past. The first survey the drone will be used for will use radar to draw a picture of the mountains under an ice sheet. That will help scientists map parts of the continent never reached before.
Scientists have been worrying about how fast the sea ice there is melting. This is CBS News.
Does your carpet or couch need a refresh? Grab Febreze Fabric Spray to make sure it's always smelling fresh and clean. Also, try Febreze Fabric Spray on your clothes or bed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new study finds a troubling link between racism online and higher rates of stress and suicide among Black youth. Terry D. reports.
Online racism includes jokes and misinformation, but also censorship or the removal of content posted by Black users. Psychologist Dr. Raquel Martin explains social media is often a representation of what is happening in everyday life.
Having social media provides you with an opportunity to see how people that look like you are being treated in their own city and state and country, and acknowledging the fact that that is not often good.
The study reveals Black teens with repeated exposure to racist posts internalize the content as threats, resulting in trauma-like symptoms and emotional distress. The Social Media Victims Law Center asserts that online anonymity and beliefs in digital freedom of speech are seen as justifications by those who post white supremacy ideology. Another study finds young people experience an average of 5 posts that include racial discrimination per day. Teens may see the content as teasing, not racial harassment, allowing cyberbullying to thrive. Martin says the apps commonly used by teens could do more to rein in the negative content.
I am not naive enough to think that individuals in the social media realm aren't aware of this. They're very much aware of it, but I also don't think they very much care. And a lot of the times the things they care about are losing money.
Recommendations to counter harmful online content include community, faith-based, and mentoring programs, and to address the stigma in the Black community of seeking therapy and connect teens to mental health resources geared toward youth. This is Terry D. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, becoming mostly sunny with highs in the low 40s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 27. Mostly sunny with a high near 47 on your Sunday. For Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 49. And into the low 50s for Tuesday and Wednesday. Chance of rain by Wednesday night.
Currently 33 degrees.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Cripescast. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We got a fresh new episode for you this week, and we are brought to you by Everlight Solar. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Cripescast. I am coming to you alive from the road, on the road this week, and we are talking to comedian Mary Mack. Mary Mack is hilarious. I saw her, I want to say about a month ago. My brother John put on a show. Mary Mack was the headliner. You probably know her voice. She's been a voice actor and done TV on shows like Solar Opposites, and she's done stuff on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. She's been on Last Comic Standing. She's been on Conan. Just super, super funny, super Midwest. She is currently on tour. She is taking her van with her husband. They're going all around the U.S. They got some solar panels on it. We talk about her van. We talk about her comedy. We talk about all of it. That is coming up very soon. Before we get to that, Colleen Maraca joins me remotely from the Cripescast studio. Colleen.
Did you meet? Is that when you met Mary Mack? Was that John's show?
Yeah. So, my brother hosts shows around Milwaukee, produces shows. And so he got Mary Mack. Mary Mack, you know, people are huge fans of her from the television series and all that, but also just her stand up. Yeah. She's got the very funny, you know, Midwest, super thick accent. Mm-hmm. And but just so authentically funny and just a joy to talk to. So.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. Did she say anything that surprised you, Kelly?
I loved that she was in Nashville trying to start a polka band. Like, that is so funny to me. Like, that's crazy and so Midwest, but that was funny. And then, like, what you said about effortlessly funny, it's so true. Like, she just drops nuggets here and there and moves on, and they're like crazy parts of stories that you're like, wait, we got, like, multiple times you're like, wait, before we get too far, like, she has just such funny, like, details here and there. So yeah, she's a good storyteller, and then it was a lot of fun listening to you guys talk about that.
Yeah, I had a blast with it. You're like, her subtle punchlines, just it's almost like I have to listen back sometimes to, I'm sure listening back to this podcast, she just slips them in. She just drops them, you don't even notice, you know.
Absolutely.
But very funny. I think you guys will enjoy the conversation. With that, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to my conversation with comedian Mary Mack. How are you doing? Where are you right now?
Well, I just got back. I have this route I do, and I just got back. Most of the time I'm in Port Wing, Wisconsin, and my mom still lives in Webster, Wisconsin area, Webb Lake, Webster, Danbury. And so I have this route I do where I go from Port Wing to Webster to take care of my mom for a day. And then I go back down to Minneapolis because that's where the airport is. I have my circuit, and that's I'm in Minneapolis right now. So, and I was worried. I was like, oh, am I going to offend Charlie's listeners because I'm a hybrid of Wisconsin and Minnesota, and I could only see the Vikings growing up because I'm a border child.
Yeah, you are, actually. I wish you would have told me that earlier. I would have never invited you on. But here you are, so we're going to have to deal with it. So now, how did that go for you? What was, first of all, what was the you're getting on an airport in an airport, and then you're just going and touring comedy, or you're going back down somewhere else, or
no,
you know, let's finish that up.
I have a house in Minneapolis, and so I used to fly every weekend for comedy, for my stand-up comedy touring, and now I can't stand it flying anymore. It's got a lot to do with the parts of the plane falling off, and the whole it has a lot to do with the holes in the planes. But I'm trying to not have
I don't
want to
interrupt.
Yeah, no, please interrupt. Yeah, it's your show.
Do a lot of planes have holes in them?
Well, if you're riding on a 737 MAX built by Boeing, who's getting exemptions.
They've had a rough go of it. So you don't trust the flying process at all. You're a no-go on. You're just like my Grandpa Bob. My Grandpa Bob had so much turbulence on his way back from Korea that he never flew again.
I respect that. I have gotten off at least four planes just as they're about to close the door, and I'll take an Amtrak across the country. That's why I have the credit card, and I have some free trips coming.
You have the Amtrak credit card.
Oh yeah, I got several free trips coming.
That wasn't a bit in your show, the Amtrak credit card?
Oh no, it is a bit in my show. It's also true.
Oh my, I didn't know they had that. That's so funny.
Yeah.
You should do a commercial for the Amtrak credit card, I think.
No, like, you know,
I'm surprised.
Oh, Amtrak is so stupid. I gotta tell you something. They could do so well. There was a comedy festival that took place on the Amtrak, and Amtrak sent them a cease and desist. And I was like, this is free advertising for the Amtrak. They're just dumb. They could do so much better than they are. They could just hire like a Gen Z marketing executive and do way better.
Oh, totally. Because, you know, it's one of the more environmentally friendly ways to travel, you know, taking the train.
Mark Twain thought so. He wrote about it, even with a steam engine. I'm in Minneapolis. I got to finish the story, and then I'll be going back up north in a week because I planned it around my mom's doctor's appointments. I grew up on the border, like we were talking, and I could only get Twins on TV. We had our three channels, and it was all from Minnesota, and we could get Twins or Vikings. And then I went to college down in Oshkosh, and I thought, what? How are the Packers sure are popular down here? What's this whole Packers thing about? Because we never even had cable. Like, there wasn't cable in our town. And in fact, my sister, she has internet, and she pays like $80 a month. I don't know why. She still can't watch a video because we can't get high speed internet on the road I grew up on. So it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting that even in 2024, that can't be done?
Yeah, I'm sure it could be done, but.
You'd have to. Someone would have to have the deep pockets and bring in the fiber or Elon Starlink. Like, you ever see those moving stars at night?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I guess that maybe they could figure that out. Or this is going to piss off your listeners, or. The assembly and all the folks could just accept the infrastructure money and give us.
Oh, yeah.
Can I swear?
Yeah.
You could just accept that money and help us out. But I think they just do other things with it. So.
Yeah. I mean, Wisconsin has had some backwards political decisions in our past. There's no doubt of that. I mean, at one time, you know, I mean, we've turned down, money for a lot of reasons that don't seem to make sense to anyone except those politically posturing for it.
Oh,
you know what
God.
I mean?
Oh, but one good thing I heard on the radio yesterday was that it's finally something. They're going to allow more EV chargers. They're going to change the public utilities laws and bring some more EV chargers in. And so I hope that includes, includes Northern. And here's what the problem is with, it's not just for cars. Like, people have generators. There's generators that you can charge on those EV. So there's like a lot of people who want to live off the grid up north. And if we could just go and get some juice from one of those EV car chargers, it's ideal, right? For a lot of people up north. And so, I mean, come on, bring us the stuff. We're waiting. We've been waiting. Okay, sorry. Ryan, It's a gripes cast, Charlie.
No, but look, I always like this podcast is sponsored by Everlight Solar. Put the solar panels. I'm not in my studio, but when I am, that it's powered by solar. The thing with that is, like, I always say it's not just like the hippies who want it. It's the screw the government guys.
Yes,
you know, the guys who want.
It's the doomsday survivalists. Look what I got. Here's what's going on. So I'm touring my next 5 weeks because I hate flying so much. I am touring in my new Barbie Dream Crusher van. And so
tell me about it.
What I'm experimenting with are these SIGs. These weigh like 4 pounds. This is a 100-watt SIGs CIGS solar panel that I can adhere to the roof of my Barbie Dream Crusher van, which, by the way, I can shower in. So things are really turning around for me, Charlie.
Holy smokes.
And so I put 3 of these whoppers up there and I'm charging my solar generator as I drive. Then I have another little foldable contraption that I can charge it. If I want to park my van in the sun, I just hook up these other solar panels in the shade and it'll run my AC unit. So I'm my own Elon Musk because I've created the dog setting in my Barbie Dream Crusher van.
Wow.
I know. Cause I'm running AC off of solar all day nonstop. I don't know.
That's really impressive I didn't know you could do that.
Oh yeah, you could do it. I've learned way too much this last month. If you have any questions, let me know. But
how long have you been driving around the van doing comedy?
Well, guess what? This is so people are like, why does she need AC at 0 degrees out? Because I'm going south this year after the trauma of last winter, after the 13 feet of snow we got in Port Wing last winter. I'm going south. So I bought this van. It's 23 years old. And I've never driven it before. And I mean, my first trip is to Florida.
Really?
It's not wise.
Really? So you, the.
It's not wise.
First no, trip. It's not wise.
Yeah.
What kind of a van is it?
Dodge Road Trek. Don't worry, everybody. I know what you're thinking. Those headlights, you're not going to see nothing. But don't worry about it because I already replaced the headlights with Eagle Eyes. And so, because I had a Dodge Neon, I'm familiar with the cloudy Dodge headlights.
Oh, yeah.
So.
The Road Trek, huh?
Yeah, Dodge Road Trek 20.
Oh.
I couldn't do shows in Chicago because I didn't think I could park a 20 and a half foot vehicle in Chicago. So I'm bypassing that. My first stop is going to be Holman, Wisconsin, because there's plenty of room for a 20 and a half foot vehicle there.
Sure.
Drugen's Golf, Holman. I do that February 3rd. And then my next stop is Cincinnati. And I am so stoked, Charlie, about Cincinnati because it's above freezing there right now. And that means I can just start shooting water into my, I'm going to be able to use my potable water. I'm going to be able to use to just have my toilet running in there. And it's like, I've never had that in a camper before where you could just like go to the bathroom in it and shower in it. And once I hit Cincinnati, it's warm enough to do it.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't shower before getting on this podcast. You just waste the water since you're going to be doing it in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I say, I only shower in Cincinnati from now on.
Yeah. I don't know why you would shower anywhere else. It's the best place to shower. Let me ask you, how did you get your start in comedy? How did it all begin for you?
It's actually a very Wisconsin-y reason. I went down to music school in Nashville, and I missed Wisconsin, and my roommate was from Wisconsin, and we started a polka band in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah, yes.
Hey, Polka City.
Yeah, yeah, we have the drinking record at a couple establishments in Nashville. And, you know, it's just that because polka does that to people, they really like drinking during the music. But our other members of the band, you know, like we had a full band, they were, at that time, polka wasn't very popular in Nashville. And I don't know that it ever did get popular, but especially there wasn't much internet at that time. And our members, they didn't really know about polka. So long story short, that we weren't great. We weren't that good. And when you're trying to cover a 4-hour gig, you know, I was forced into a frontman position when really I just wanted to arrange the music and play my clarinet and my sax and my flute. I just wanted to cover woodwinds, arrange music. But I ended up being forced into a frontman position, and I would have to tell a lot of stories in between the songs. And so pretty soon people were like, because I'm stalling for time, right? We want to cover the gig and we're not that good. And pretty soon people were like, well, we really like the stories better than the music. Or we really like the talking, which is like the worst thing for a band to hear. You know, that's not a good sign if people are enjoying it more when you're not playing. So, yeah. So my roommate, she just started signing me up for things. She went, important detail. Our band kind of broke up. It broke up just because people were crazy. And like we went through tuba players, like Spinal Tap went through drummers. But I forgot what the question was about that. Oh, anyway, well, so she signed me up.
She'd say for open mics.
Yes, but she didn't tell me if they were comedy or what. It was a game we'd play. And she'd just be like, have your clarinet ready. Dress for movement. And I would just go to whatever. Sometimes it would be an open mic. Sometimes it would be auditions. And then one of the things stuck. It was an open mic. And it was actually poetry night. But I just prepared a story. She said, prepare a story. And she didn't know it was poetry night. But I did it. And I loved it. Because people listened to me. And they were quiet. And I didn't get any laughs. But people were listening, and I couldn't believe they were listening to me. So I got addicted to writing things for the stage. So that's how I got into it, was our polka band broke up and I missed performing and being creative.
Wow.
Yeah. Long wow. story so, for that answer, for that question.
No, I mean, so how old were you in Nashville at this time?
I think I was about 25 or 26 when, or maybe 26 when she's 25, 26 when she started signing me up for stuff.
And did you just then from there start doing stand-up comedy and just doing straight stand-up?
Yeah, I didn't go straight stand-up for a while because I was always a musician. So I would do some kind of music with it, and I would do like songs and then talk between the songs. And I gradually just kind of weaned myself off of the music portion. And then because I just got lazier and lazier and lazier. Because I was like, if I just talked, I don't have to bring an amp or an instrument. I don't have to carry anything. And so gradually I just started talking because my effort level just really went down. But I still make a big effort to write things. But physically, as far as what I'm willing to lift, I just talk now.
Yeah, it's like a 3-pound minimum. You lift a microphone and that's really it.
I quit my music teaching job and I just took anything I could get first year. I wrote like 3 hours plus a day and I would try anything on stage. So it was like it was probably like a year of open mics and like getting paid. And oh God, Nashville at the time was really wild. So I was down there for like a year and then at least doing And then Minneapolis just had a great club. And my brothers live in the Twin Cities. So I would go between my brothers' houses and live in their basement and just gradually got hired, you know. I took anything. And it was like within a year of starting where I was doing it, you know. But I had to do odd jobs.
Okay, gotcha. So what did that look like? Like, how long was it where you were doing kind of odd jobs along the way? And when did it become make the sort of transition from hobby to this is what I'm doing for my life, you know?
Yeah, no, I guess it would be, you know, I worked substitute Todd at a correctional facility. And I do like open mic on a Monday or Tuesday night and get home at like 1 a.m. And then I'd get up. I'd sleep 3 hours. I'd get up at 4 and drive to the correctional facility. It was really tough to start, but I guess I did those kind of odd job type things. I started in Nashville doing it. And then I went to the cities. Oh, because they had a contest here where you could win some money. And I thought, if I could just win some money. And then it gave me a little boost to start again. Actually, my husband won that contest. It was like, at the time, it was like hundreds of people and you had multiple rounds. And so he won it and I got third. And then he told my high school best friend, he's like, Mary got robbed. She should have got second. And we still got married. But I know. So I guess it was really a few years of doing that. Because, you know, whenever you could make money and you were offered like a subbing gig, you'd want to take it. So maybe a few years. I should have kept a diary. But
no, you didn't keep a diary along the way, huh?
Not really. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
But I have,
you know, keep one now.
We have I should make that my resolution. I should keep one just for evidence, you know.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
CBS News Brief. There's fallout from their U.S. airstrikes that are payback for a deadly attack on U.S. troops in Jordan that killed 3. The BBC's Hugo Bashega with more.
Iraqis have been very frustrated with the attacks that have been carried out by these Iranian-supported groups, but also very angry these attacks would be happening inside Iraq.
Democrats are at the polls in South Carolina for the party's first official presidential primary. Some aren't enthusiastic, but this woman is.
This is who I'm voting for, Democratic, all the way through. Biden, Harris, I hope that y'all win because I'm your number one fan. Thank you.
Not only is California facing massive flooding, there could be several feet of snow in the mountains. This man is worried.
It's actually kind of traumatizing, you know. I'm just worried that, you know, we're not going to be ready this time.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
The Badgers hope to rebound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the number 6 ranked Wisconsin Badgers lost Thursday night to Nebraska 80-72 in overtime. Matt LePay with the call on the Badgers radio network.
Hepburn with 7 seconds left. Chucky, a deep three. It's off the rim, no good. Gary the rebound, and Nebraska wins it in overtime by 8. And another court storm here in Lincoln as the 6th-ranked team in the country goes down.
Now, Wisconsin has a chance to hold on to that spot in the top 10 when they host the number 2-ranked Purdue Boilermakers Sunday at noon. Head coach Greg Gard asked, will his team need to cut down on the turnovers against Purdue?
Yeah, that combined with bad shot selection and no play in the paint. You know, we don't get to the free throw line, and we are going to get fouled when you're consistently shooting jump shots.
That's the Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, becoming mostly sunny with highs in the low 40s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 27. Mostly sunny with a high near 47 on your Sunday. For Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 49. And into the low 50s for Tuesday and Wednesday. Chance of rain by Wednesday night.
currently 33 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy, people are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't
know. Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5
The
Tap.
Hey folks, I'm Charlie Behrens, and this is my conversation with comedian Mary Mack on the Cripescast. How do you like, what's the difference in playing a show, say, in Cincinnati versus a show, you know, up north?
You know, they're real similar. That Cincinnati crowd is so great. Gosh darn. Well, you know, like, I can't, like, the main differences are the, like, the details. I can cite a specific intersection where they've put a stoplight and it, up north, and there'll be people just be so pissed off and be on the same page. So like I can say, like A&H, right? The town A&H, and everybody up north will be like, oh, that's where County Road A crosses County Road H. And, or like, oh, that stoplight they put in. And nobody, I can't do that in Cincinnati. Yep. But across the entire north of Wisconsin, I can say that. And up north of eight, we still have very strong opinions about stoplights.
Yeah. What is the north of eight, the up north Wisconsin opinion about stoplights?
Well, most of the time, we're just like, they could have spent that money on something else, right? But it's like, mm-hmm. This money has to go to certain. I will say I've changed my mind about the one in Siren, Wisconsin, where 70 and 35 come together, because Siren is like, you know, it's really busy. And I mean, it's not busy like compared to like Minocqua or Bayfield busy, but it is busy in that people get to this intersection and basically are deciding their route for that week. And everybody needs to go through is where the two roads come together. So, I have changed my mind on that one. The Grantsburg one, it's ridiculous. Nobody, water skip isn't even that snowmobile skip's not even that popular anymore. And so that's why we think they put it there, but, it's unnecessary. It was just like, they had money to use for that. I think people are just like, well, I got to sit here for like 2 minutes and there's not even any cars. I still actually have a lot of anger over that.
Well, I, it's good for you to come on the Cripescast and process that anger in a healthy way by just making it known to the local officials that this madness kind of needs to stop.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. And roundabouts. Yeah. Oh God. Do you know how?
Tell me about roundabouts. Tell me about them.
Well, a lot of the places, it's just, we just can't figure out why. Why are they there? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not a bit even. I'm just like, my mom gets the octogenarians get so nervous about the roundabouts. My mom, before she would go between Danbury and Siren, spent a month memorizing the exits, which there are only two or three, on the roundabout by the Burnett County Airport, by the courthouse. And it just, we get so nervous. People get so nervous. It's really not necessary to put everybody through that, because it wasn't really an issue to start with. So, I mean, maybe they're forecasting a big population boom or something, but that town is, Webster stayed the same size for the last, God, 40 years at least.
Yeah. And for folks who haven't been to Webster in the past 40 years, 600 folks in Webster. Yeah.
So, I mean, well, and our school is for other towns. Like, it's Danbury, Darien, you know, Webb Lake, Webster. But still, it's not that many people.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, stoplights and roundabouts. I mean, they could have spent that money sinking, you know, some structure in the drink to get more bluegills and bass over by create a reef, an artificial reef or something. Hell, if they just sunk the stoplight, that would do more good probably for the fishing than it was going to do up directing traffic anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It is sad that they got rid of all the DNR during the last administration because they were doing good things up there. So now there's just renegades putting their own Christmas trees and they're just putting all kinds of crap in there. And like in the lake I grew up on, it's like, we're just like, who is this guy? And I suddenly got a sports, he's got his own fishing column. And there's a, it's, this is a true story. And I try not to feel the anger in my shoulders, but the rest of us are like, we don't want any more people coming to our lake. Why do you gotta like try to be some hotshot? Like, it's really frustrating. I'm sweating on my back right now because I'm so.
Well, hang on now. You got a fella who's sinking structure outside of DNR compliance there. And on top of that, he's got a fishing column.
And also, we're like, well, he must be driving to the live. He must be driving to another town to post his column because he's not going to post it from here. He must be on Starlink or something. I mean, it's just like piss. And then Ron Lipke is our neighbor, Ron Lipke. That's a very, oh God, I said his name. Well, if you know Ron, tell him I said hi. So he's keeping tabs on him. And Ron is out there every day on the lake and he's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. And so it's definitely making a difference. And so, you know, sometimes you don't have to be, you know, sometimes you just want privacy and you don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme. Sometimes you just want a little privacy while you're on the stage. You don't want everybody showing up during your me time doing your comedy set.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I get that. Comedy and fishing, you know, one and the same. You know, you just want some peace and I think that's good, you know, and I'm sorry that fella's out there putting your name out. And, you know, honestly, I apologize for getting you out on this podcast. If God forbid I get you a few more people coming to your shows, that would be a real drag. You know, that's a lot more people to nod at and acknowledge during your show. And that'll just slow you down, maybe distract you.
Yeah, right.
But I do think some of them might get you a beer. So there's pluses and negatives on that. Hey, you know, I want to say I got a little game to play with you. Do you want to play it here quick?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is called Florida versus Northwoods. Okay, so I'm going to rattle off some headlines, and you got to decide whether the news came from the Northwoods or whether it came from Florida. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God, this is going to be hard to tell them apart. I just know it right now, especially if you do the Keys. There's a lot of ex-cons in the Keys, and there's a lot of ex-cons up north. Believe me, I got some stories about that.
Oh, you got an ex-con
My
story,
brother's
huh?
one of them.
Oh, is but, he? Yeah. Yes. What did he serve for?
A variety of things, but the one where they really wouldn't let him go was he was drunk driving and stole a sign, a Route 66 sign. If you steal a historic sign like that, it's a federal offense. Just so if anybody's thinking about it, and that lands you in federal prison, especially if you're
drunk.
I
didn't know that.
Yep.
My gosh. Now, I mean, could you imagine? Is he still there?
No, he got out. He's in a different type of prison. But he used to do other things where he would just go into our jail in Burnett County, on his own terms. Sometimes.
He would just go there to hang out?
No, he'd go there to sober up. because he always owed time for something. But at the time, it was a very, until recently, it was a pretty forgiving system where they're like, yeah, you got to do like 40 days, but just come in when, you know, you don't have as much work coming in. It used to be a very nice system we had. And then people got like, you know, tough on crime. Well, it's like, Jesus Christ, he only has a lawnmower he's driving now. And it's like, what damage is he going to do? So anyways.
I mean, he might cut someone else's hedges. I don't know.
Yeah, he might do somebody a favor.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry to go down that road. Well,
yeah, Florida versus up north.
Florida versus up north. Here we got it. All right. Patron charged with Subway sandwich battery. Patron charged with Subway sandwich January, upset that his sandwich had not been sliced into pieces. A Subway customer allegedly threw the offending hero at a store clerk, striking her with the grub, according to police, who yesterday arrested the man for battery. Where do you think that took place, huh?
Well, if it happened in northern Wisconsin, it was by somebody who had who wasn't from there. I'll give you that much. My mom couldn't even, I took her for the first time. She couldn't even believe they cut the sandwich for you. That's a privilege.
Oh,
so
your mom was very impressed by the Subway.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's a whole long bit too. It was the best dining experience she's ever had in her life. The Subway attached to the St. Croix Falls Walmart. It was, she couldn't even, it was so, I'm going to say Florida. My answer is Florida because I hope to God that person isn't, that didn't happen in northern Wisconsin. It would be so embarrassing.
It would be embarrassing. You're absolutely correct. It was Stuart, Florida. And of course, that would be very un-Midwest to throw a Sammy at someone.
Yep.
You know, if anything, if you were really to get serious about it in the Midwest, you'd be like, you know, if you don't mind, you know, and seriously, if it's not too much trouble and you got the time, I asked for some meat in this sandwich and you just put jalapenos in it. So I'm hoping I could get some meat if you have time.
If you have time. Right. That's right. And I was right, wasn't I? Because you know what? That's Florida money. People who think they're entitled to a cut sandwich. That's like, you're lucky to get a sandwich. There's like two Subway. There's probably like three Subways tops north of eight. And you know what? Yeah. You're just lucky they're there. And so you're lucky they're using some sort of refrigeration system. So yep. I got it. I nailed it. Thank you.
And they also probably got a pocket knife on them, you know, on their little belt situation. Or just one slide, a switchblade in the pocket.
Of course.
All right. Sounds good. Next headline. Hang on. Just one second. City bands together to preserve viral rat hole.
Whoa. Rat hole.
Rat hole. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Florida.
Yeah, see, this is a trick one now.
It is.
Because I said up north and I made it North Woods, and this actually is from Chicago. So
okay,
I don't know if that's a trick one or I just didn't fully explain that the game could come from anywhere in the Midwest. Here's the game. The game is Midwest versus Florida headlines.
Okay, yes. Okay, this changes things now. This changes things. Okay,
yeah.
Well, I didn't know because I was like, I've never seen a rat up north. But okay, let's start again. Now I'll change my mindset. I want to count the first one, but not the second one.
Oh, we won't count it. One time I did see a rat. This wasn't up north, but it was in Milwaukee. It was at my house in Milwaukee, and I was moving a gun case.
Yeah,
and because I was taking fishing poles in my old gun case, you know, because that's a nice way to move fishing poles is in a gun case. And I opened up the gun case and a rat jumped in my face right out of it. The inside of the gun case, you know, the foam, he had meshed it all up. He had little babies in there. I suppose it might have been a she, but I didn't stop to check and look.
I don't think that was a very good gun case if a rat could get in there and live.
Get in a lot. Well, what happened was it was only latched on one all the way over to the right. So the rat actually, you know, prop that the other sucker. So it was one of them hard plastic cases. So, you know, these rodents, they can get their ways into holes pretty easily.
Rats are so smart. Rats are really, really smart. They're smart animals. And it wasn't your fault, too. Charlie.
No, thank you. But you know what? And then I looked over at the ice fishing shanty that my Grandpa Bob had given me. Mm-hmm, and I pulled that up next. I was cleaning the garage and they had chewed through all of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, that's awful.
Yeah. It was terrible. No, thank you for your empathy. I appreciate you. Okay, next headline. Enough about rats. Here we go. Man sues Dunkin' over toilet explosion that he says left him filthy and injured.
Oh, dear. Wow.
Midwest or Florida?
Would you give me a hint about what year did this happen?
Oh, yes. Yep. You can ask for a hint. This happened in 2023, the year of our Lord. Oh,
that's tough.
Yep. 2022, actually. 2022. Sorry.
I feel like that's a Florida thing.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yep. You're right. Yep. Oh. Florida man sues Dunkin' over toilet explosion. He says left him filthy and injured. The Flagler County man is suing Dunkin' after he suffered a toilet explosion 2 years ago. So he waited a little while, the situation, bathroom exploded. Human feces urine went all over him. And anyways, it was a no go. Yeah, there was a problem with the toilet due to, quote, prior incidents. So,
wasn't me. It was prior incidents that clogged this John, not me.
It wasn't the fact I just had a Dunkin' coffee, you know.
I want to know what injuries, other than you're late for your next thing, or you're like, maybe you could get a UTI. No, you can't. It was a dude. He wouldn't have even got a UTI out of it.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe he got some sort of, mouth disease.
He could have got E. coli or staph, but.
Yeah. Boy. I mean, the world may never know. But anyways, that's just how it goes. Yeah, let's keep her moving here. all right, next headline. Man throws beer can, fires AR-15 rifle after being upset by drivers speeding in his neighborhood.
That could happen either place.
Sure could.
AR-15 rifle, beer can. I'm going to say Florida again. I'm just going to say Florida again.
Yep. Your instinct is absolutely correct. Yeah. That's how that happened. Now I know what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. This could, and the picture, I wish I could show you. I mean, actually the picture could have been Florida or the Northwoods too, but a Polk County man, he's facing felony charges after investigators say his temper raced as a vehicle sped past his house. So a vehicle sped by and he got all pissy about it. Confronted the driver. Yeah, I confronted about going too fast. And that's when, according to the sheriff, he said he was going to get his AR-15 rifle. And would you know it, he actually did. And they got some ring footage of him. Whoa. And I don't really get the AR-15 thing. I don't know why people think that that's a cool gun. Like, if you can't hit it the first time, maybe you should just play Big Buck Hunter, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I agree. You should just practice. Now, if that headline would have read, a man gets angry with speeding car and throws beer can and unloads some buckshot, that would have been up north. I would have up north, because it's happened. It's even happened in one of the towns that I mentioned. So,
did someone shoot at a car there? Or?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not good, folks.
Yeah, don't do it. I know the authorities haven't really been listening, but if you know somebody who is, keep trying your best to turn the people in who are doing the threats with the guns who aren't all the way there, because eventually at some point the authorities will listen. I'm going to think positive on this, but
yeah.
Okay. Sad ending to that.
Sad ending to that one. But anyways, we have a couple more and then we'll get you on your way. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Grand Haven pothole. Oh, I said it. Oh my gosh. Well, maybe not. you didn't listen. There's a pothole gaining local celebrity status for, Yeah, let me read it this way. Residents fix pothole problem by filling it in with a recliner.
You know what? I don't think Florida gets potholes. I think they get sinkholes.
Oh, so you're right.
I guess I would say Midwest on that.
You're absolutely right. It's from Grand Haven, Michigan.
Just off
North Beacon, in fact, in Grand Haven, there's a pothole that's big enough for a chair to fit in it. And that's exactly what they've been doing. Okay, so, you know, construction jobs pretty laid back over there in Grand Haven. All right.
I hope it's a reclining one. I hope it is a recliner, did you say? Or is it an easy chair? Yeah. It's a recliner?
A lazy boy. I mean, it's the same sort of, recliner.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah.
Point taken.
All right. Last one here. Last one. Okay. Let's see here. Football-sized goldfish have invaded the blank. They eat anything and everything. What are football-sized goldfish invading? Is it a Midwest body of water or a Florida body of water?
You know, if I've heard of this, I think it might be a Midwest thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Goldfish is just like a glorified carp. That's all that is. So,
sure.
If I've heard of it, it's Midwest for sure. Yeah, I've heard of this. Yeah. Where did they find them? I don't remember the article.
Well, they're invading the Great Lakes. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, but them are native to Asia, the Asian carps, and then you know, and that they are a problem. They wreak havoc on the ecosystem. Do you ever go shoot them with the bow?
No, I didn't know people were shooting. I know you're encouraged to like spear the Asian carps, but I didn't know people were shooting them bow hunting them. Was fantastic. Except for
Lake Winnebago.
Oh, they're doing it. Oh my God, I have a story about Lake Winnebago. I had sailing class at UW Oshkosh in Lake Winnebago, and you could basically just like. I was terrified that I would tip over in those boats. They were the tippy sunfish sailboats. And I was like, I cannot tip over because I will land in these carp. But the carp were so thick. It was like you could just walk across the bay. We were in the bay in Oshkosh. And
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it was so gross. But also, like, I guess they're planning on nobody ever swimming in there because you don't want to have, like, sharp arrows in the water.
No. Well, you got your arrows attached to a reel, you know?
Oh!
So you shoot them, but then you bring them in. So you're not losing your arrows.
That's fantastic.
And you do got to be careful walking around Lake Winnebago, but it's more for the broken bottles than it is for, you know, the arrows, I would think.
But, well, they could just hire more geese to keep all over the shores of Lake Winnebago, that feces will get so thick that you won't step on the glass. I feel like that's the strongest remediation plan.
Well, you know, if you ever need a backup plan for your comedy, I think you could probably get some with the DNR with creative ideas like that, you know? So that's pretty cool. Hey, I'm excited for you and your new tour. And if people want to, I know you don't want too many more people coming to your shows. You're kind of at max capacity. But if people did want to go and you wanted to invite them, where could they go find some tickets for you?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Please go to marymaccomedy.com. I do have social media, but why do that when you could just be on my mailing list or go check out my tour schedule there? Like, I have no algorithm, Charlie. There is no algorithm on Mary Mac. I will not find you again unless you sign up. But marymaccomedy.com, all the shows are there and the ticket links are there. And, you know, I put some photos, some videos once in a while on there. And most of the time I forget to send my mailing list out. So it's really not a bother to join. It's really little effect on your life. It's that minimal effect. Minimal commitment When you sign up on the MaryMacComedy.com mailing list is what I'm saying. It's
That's nice for people to know that they can sign up and pretty much expect to barely ever get anything.
Yep.
So, you know, be interrupted. But when they get something, they'll know where the shows are and they'll have an opportunity to come see you live. And I got to tell everyone, you're very funny. Very funny. I saw your show the other week at the Camelot golf course. You murdered it. You crushed it. You're so funny. And I hope so more people get the chance to see you, even though that might cramp your style. But anyways,
I sometimes even an introvert can be extrovert with enough bush lights. So it's
that's poetry. Really, it is. It's
should
poetry.
Be their slogan. Why isn't that their slogan? Will you help me get that for a sponsor?
I think you start. You do. That's your next video that you're not going to do because you don't like doing it. But just put your phone right there and then just drink a Busch Light and just say that. And that's your next. That's the advertisement.
Okay, and please let me check in for just like a 5-minute segment on my drive. On my 6 weeks of driving in the Barbie Dream Crusher, just to let you know.
Absolutely.
I'm putting you between a rock and a hard place right now, but.
No, you're not. I want to know. You text me an update and we'll get you on. That would be very fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. And thanks and keep up the good work. I go to the dump and the dump man is always like, you heard of this Charlie Behrens? And the dump man used to be his favorite comic, and now you're his favorite comic since you started making the Wisconsin videos. And
you know,
I'm telling you, that's a real blow to my ego when the guy at the dump drops me for a different comic. I thought that was my niche market.
Mary Mac, I want to tell you, you have not lost the guy at the dump, and there is room for two people on that guy's algorithm. There's enough room for the both of us. And you make sure you tell him that I says hi, and make sure you actually tell him. Don't not tell him I said hi, because then he's going to not like me as much. So
I will. I'll let him know. I'll let him know. And if his data plan allows it and he's got a strong enough cell signal, I'll encourage him to watch more videos. So
that would be really nice. That would be really nice. Well thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Charlie. I'm going to hit the button now, and I hope to talk to you soon.
Tell your husband I say hi, and your mom and brother and everything, all right?
Will do. Take care. Stay warm.
All right, folks, that is it for now. Thanks to Mary Mac for coming on the show. Make sure you follow her at Mary Mac Comedy, despite the fact that she just wants you to subscribe to her mailing list. You can also follow her. If you do want to subscribe to her mailing list, just go to MaryMacComedy.com. Follow the Cripescast on all platforms at Cripescast. Thank you, Colleen Maraca, for EPing this sucker. Thanks to Hannah Milos for editing, and thanks to all of you for listening. Until next week, keep her moving. Watch for deer. Tell your folks I says hi. Bye-bye now.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Hey, everybody, this is Aaron from the Todd Albaugh Show, just letting you know that Todd will be back on Monday with a brand new show. So tune in then from noon to 2.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you
You're
really
listening
know?
To 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.